Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor. I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can have the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. This season, join me for the Men of Faith in Business podcast takeover. Join me to hear the stories of powerful men of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Women Faith Plus Business podcast, the Men of Faith Takeover. And I'm super excited for my guest today. I have Sean Q. The amazing Sean Q is a sales and leadership coach who specializes in helping experts easily attract and connect with high-paying dream clients so they can have more fun and grow their business without the ick, sleaze, and sales tricks of the past. So excited to have Sean Q as a guest on the podcast today. Welcome, Sean Q.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here today. Nice to thank you, everybody who's listening, for spending some time with us today.
Awesome. And if you want to add anything to your bio, maybe something fun or something maybe people don't know about you, what would you like to share with the audience?
Ooh, that's such a fun question. I would say, I'm an expectant father. So at the time of this recording, our baby girl, our very first daughter, our very first baby is on her way. She is 5 days away from her due date, which is crazy. So by the time that you listen to this, she may already be here, and you can go to my profile and see the millions of photos I've probably posted, because I am definitely going to be that dad. A couple other fun things about me. I love Star Wars. So if you like Star Wars, we're already automatically like best friends. We can talk about it for hours. And I also love sushi and swimming. My happy place is at the beach, just sitting in the sand, soaking up that warm sun and, you know, drinking a cold Coca-Cola. Ah, so good.
Love it. Love it. Love it. That is so exciting. Congrats again on the baby and being a hashtag girl dad. So you're going to be hashtag girl dad all the way. So congrats on all of that. So excited for you. Well, as you know, this is the Women Faith Plus Business podcast, and we are having a special season, which is the Men of Faith Takeover. So I'm excited to hear about your faith journey, about your business journey, and just to learn a little bit more about you as we go through this episode. So because this podcast is about faith and business, I want to start off by asking, what has your business journey been like? Like, business for everyone is so different. How we start in business, what it looks like as we go through the process and we journey. So share a glimpse with us as to what your particular business journey has looked like.
Yeah. So I grew up in Southern California. I worked at a rather large church. It was the second largest church in Southern California, in California, actually. And I grew up there, you know, going through like children's ministry, youth ministry, young adults ministry, ended up working there. And it was pretty incredible. I worked there for about 8 years, and I did media production. So I did all of the testimonial videos, the announcement videos, the promo videos for like conferences and camps and retreats. And it was really fun. And I remember there was a moment where I was editing a video, and this was about 8 years into that job. And I just knew, there was a knowing, oh, this season is done. I'm good here. I was actually on track to becoming a pastor. I was training to be a pastor. I went to Bible college, got a degree in biblical studies, and really was pursuing that kind of role and position. And it was such a drastic change, because in that moment, I was remembering being a fifth grader selling paper wallets and you know, different like crafts for like a quarter, so I could afford a brownie at the lunch lady. And I was reminded of that entrepreneurial drive and just that entrepreneurial spirit, if you will. And so I made a decision, okay, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to go figure this out. And what really drove, like, the initial driving factors for me being in business was I wanted to make a lot of money because I grew up in a culture, in a city in Southern California that was incredibly impoverished. Like 90% of the residents were living on some type of government welfare. In other words, 90% of citizens were on the verge of homelessness. There was dramatic homelessness. There was dramatic mental health challenges. There were dramatic divorce rates. There were dramatic mental health and physical abuse and mental abuse and marital abuse and unwanted teen pregnancies and high school dropout rates and drug abuse and crime was crazy. Like there was just so many problems that riddled the city. And I wanted to figure out why. What is the underlying root cause of all of these issues? And I remember going to my cousin's birthday party, my cousin's friend's birthday party. It was like some random person, like, oh, sure, I'll go. And I was like 12 years old. And I remember going to their house, and their house was as big as like a Target to me. Like I was, I didn't even know houses could be this big. What? Like I'm living it, like we, at the time we were living in my grandparents' house. Like it was like three families in one house. One family lives in this massive house. How? And I remember going back to my city and saying, okay, if some people could live that way, and there are people in my city, people in my family living in poverty, living this way, and yet they're both working really hard. It's not like we were impoverished because we were lazy or because we didn't have great work ethic. I mean, my family members worked doubles, like overtime. Like they were working their butt off, if I could say that, just for minimum wage. And so I thought, well, we're working really hard, but we're not making a lot of money. And what I discovered was the underlying root of all of those issues was poverty. So I made it my mission. I'm going to figure out how do we eradicate poverty? How do we make it our mission to show people that they can level up, that they can show up, that they can have healthy marriages, healthy relationships, healthy families, healthy, you know, relationships to themselves and to God. And so I decided my mission is going to be to eradicate poverty and to maximize abundance. And so I went on this kind of research, like, craze. I'm obsessed with research. I'm like a researcher at heart. I love learning. One of my strengths is being like a learner. And so I went on this learning excursion where I began to discover that in developed countries, one of the greatest ways to develop abundance was starting a business. So the entrepreneurial drive that I was reminded of and this research really combined and collided into an explosive like insight of, oh, this is what I've been looking for. This is why I have that drive. And this is the impact I can make. I can help people get out of government welfare. I can help people get out of poverty. I can help people, you know, because once we solve poverty, high school dropout rates begin to diminish. Mental health challenges begin to diminish. Stress levels begin to diminish. Divorce rates begin to diminish. The number one reason why most people get divorced is because of money. Nothing else. It's money. And so if we can solve that issue, then almost everything else gets fixed. And that's what we're on a mission to do now is figure out how do we eradicate poverty and maximize abundance in a natural, easy way for people so they can really level up their lives.
Yeah, I love that. So many good points of your business journey. First of all, starting out working at the church, you know, doing such good work, working at the church for 8 years, and then having this knowing, right? We all experience this just deep in our soul, knowing that the time has come to end the season. So it started off with knowing that the time had come to end the season. And then also having that entrepreneurial spirit. You know, so many people talk on the podcast, either they never intended to be an entrepreneur, that was never something they ever imagined. And then the other side of the coin are individuals that always had that entrepreneurial spirit in them. They just knew that they had that entrepreneurial spirit. And once you decided and realized that your mission was about eradicating poverty, it gave you that drive, it gave you that purpose, it gave you that why. Behind that entrepreneurial spirit that you had. So I love how your business journey, first of all, started off working in ministry and job and was actually on the path to be a pastor, right? So that was what you initially saw for yourself, but God had a different path for you, and God put in your heart the desire to eradicate poverty and help people with abundance in the form of your entrepreneurial spirit, in the form of the vessel of your business. So I love how you share about your particular business journey, because there's so many good nuggets for the listeners to be aware of on your journey.
Yeah. And if I can add, you know, there's this two extremes of people. I've never wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I've found myself here, and I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I think for me, it was kind of a hybrid of those two, because I didn't know I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I knew I wanted to be resourceful and creative and a difference maker. And the avenue for that became entrepreneurship. And so there are some of you who are listening right now, and you've forgotten that you are entrepreneurial. Maybe life has buried that drive. Maybe circumstances have distracted you from that drive. And now there's like this spark that is ignited. Maybe you've heard something, you've listened to something. There's like a knowing in your soul, in your heart. And now what you're doing is you're remembering the initial calling, the initial drive that you had. And I just want to encourage anyone who's listening, nurture it. Don't try to rush it. Water it every day. Nurture it every day. Let it grow every day. Let it just continue to that ignition to continue to really inflame in like your bones, so much so that once you find the way you're going to be that entrepreneur, the type of business, the niche, the market, all of those things, it'll be so easy and full of flow, ease, and like fun because you've nurtured that. So for those of you who feel like, I really want to be an entrepreneur, but just life has hit me, let me encourage you, continue to nurture it, because what you nurture grows. What you give energy to, you give life to. So continue to let it nurture.
Yeah, I love that. Nurture that entrepreneurial spark, that entrepreneurial spirit that you have. Nurture it and know that it's a process. It's definitely a process. So this podcast is all about faith and business. So I'd love for you to share your faith journey with us. Now, what did it look like for you to become a believer in Jesus Christ? What was your personal journey to that personal relationship and Christianity and being a follower of Jesus Christ?
It's a great question. So growing up, I grew up in an incredibly, impoverished city, but I also grew up in an incredibly abusive household. I had a mom that absolutely loved me and a dad who just didn't know how to. And so there was a lot of challenges that were brought into just my childhood upbringing. And there were a lot of things that I began to believe because they were spoken over me. Things like I would never really make up anything of that would matter. Things like I was just too small. I was just, I wasn't ever going to kind of create anything of impact, that I didn't have any worth, that I wasn't valuable. And so there were a lot of things that I discovered in the kind of triggering impact for us was when my parents actually got divorced, and my grandmother found a church that she was like, okay, listen, you're going through this divorce, but the kids need to be in somewhere safe. They need somewhere they can just have fun because it's been so traumatic for them. They just need a safe, fun place to be. And so they found a church, a very small local church. And I think the thing that led them to that church was they were doing a divorce series. So they were like, if you are going through a divorce or you've been through a divorce, send your kids to this class and we'll help just like process it with them and kind of counsel them and go through this kind of therapeutic experience with them. We'll pray with them. We'll share what the Bible says about this experience. We'll make sure that they know it's not their fault, that they're special, that they have value, that they have worth. And so that was what really attracted me, or not attracted me, but attracted my parents to that class. And then we started attending that church. And it wasn't until so we went to that church for about 4 years. And then my grandma realized, oh, they don't really have like a youth ministry here. They have children's and then they have adults. And my grandma was really the driving factor of deciding, hey, we should probably find another church that has a really robust youth ministry, so that when they enter the really difficult stages of like teenage years, that there's some support there. And so we ended up finding another church, and it was that mega church that I grew up in. And I was about fifth, sixth grade, started going there, then went to the youth ministry. And it was really in youth where I began to explore my own beliefs and my own faith and, you know, what I believed to be true, what I didn't believe to be true. And it really was some personal, like, growth of who am I? And if I'm not who I was told I was by somebody who didn't know how to love me, who just wasn't equipped to love me, then who am I really? And that's where I began to discover, like, I am wonderfully and beautifully made. I am incredibly crafted for such a time as this. And I began to discover on a personal level who I really was by tapping into the questions like, well, who is God and who is Christ and what is this Bible and, you know, what is true and what is not true and, you know, just that whole journey. And so that's really when it became more of a personal conviction for me at that time. And so what really kind of going back, like, faith and business is when I was in that moment of one of my very first businesses was actually designed to support churches because I was so passionate about seeing churches grow. And I heard a statistic that said 3,000 to 4,000 churches close their doors every single year. Of those, 0.05% of the pastors who run those churches commit suicide every year. And that blew my mind. It was like, okay, 0.05 doesn't seem like a lot, but that's like a good handful, two handfuls of pastors ending their life because they felt like they weren't good enough, that they didn't fulfill on the calling they had. And so I wanted to start in ministry, really running a business for ministries and for churches to support them in helping their congregations tap into abundance and tap into, you know, being blessed and pursuing creativity and really being a difference maker. And so that's really how the interconnection between like faith and business really began to align itself.
Yeah. And I love how you connected the two, because I was going to ask you that afterwards, how you ended up combining your faith and your business. So you jumped right into that, which is beautiful. But I also want to highlight some of the things that you talked about on your faith journey. And the first one being that the church served a need in the community, right? So people going through divorce or struggling with it and needing that kind of support, your mother and your grandmother were able to find that in the program of that church, and being in that church offered that type of support. But then your grandmother was the lead in saying, okay, well, we're going to need more support. You know, when the kids are at a certain age, that's kind of the hardest years and the most important years when it comes to their development. So knowing and understanding that you need a church that can support that youth, that age, that group that you and your siblings will be going through, and then finding ultimately that church that you grew up in and stayed with for 8 years. So really starting off with serving the needs of the community is the way that, you know, you guys were attracted into the faith. But then you also talked about it has to become personal at some point. You have to ask the question of who am I? What is this really all about? And take that deeper look. And when you take that deeper look of who am I, that's when it becomes personal. It's not just about following the path of your mother or following the path of your grandmother and being in this organized religion, but now it's personal. Now it's about identity. Now it's about who I am in Christ and that journey. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of things in your faith journey that a lot of people can relate to as they go through the process of figuring out their faith and what faith means to them. And I love, like I already said, that you started to talk about how the two began to merge and become one thing with the fact that you started off working for ministries. And a lot of times people have struggle a little bit with whether they should combine faith and business, right? Or whether they should be open about saying God or Jesus Christ or, you know, using any religious words on a business platform. Did you have any struggle around that? Seeing that you were serving ministries, it may be a little bit different, but did you feel like as a business owner, did you feel comfortable talking about faith? What was your thought process with combining faith and business?
That's a great question. So we, and so this was maybe 8 years ago where we were working with ministries and churches. We no longer have that kind of branch of the company. But at the very beginning, that was something that was very natural and kind of comfortable. That was my comfort zone because I was working in a church. I was working in ministry. I was going to, you know, church conferences and pastors conferences and all that stuff. So it was comfortable for me to talk ministry. What was uncomfortable was actually talking business and talking sales and talking marketing and like all the things I wasn't, you know, comfortable with or wasn't kind of accustomed to. So what was really important for me was really identifying, okay, what are my convictions and how can I be congruent in whatever I do? One of the most important things is recognize, like, if you have not yet identified what you stand for and what you stand against, it's going to be really hard for you to have a message that feels aligned and congruent to your own personal convictions. And so if you're listening to this, make a list, like, what are the five things you stand for, right? For us, we stand for kindness to all people in our company, no matter who you are, no matter what background you have, no matter what your lifestyle is, no matter what your faith is, no matter what, we're going to be kind and we're going to shine a love that no one else can shine. We're just going to be in full love and in full kindness. So that's just one of the things we stand for. And that really helps us make decisions around, okay, how do we respond to this email? How do we respond to this person? How do we respond to this complaint potentially? So write down everything you stand for. And then also, what do you stand against? For us, we stand against exclusive bro marketing. If you've never heard of those terms, it's like, you know, that marketing is very sleazy. It's very manipulative. It's very aggressive and pushy. And there are a lot of marketers who do that. We do things a little different. We're going to be fun and kind and make sure you're making the best decision for you and be in integrity. I'm not going to pressure you to do anything. We're going to help you make the best decision. Sometimes that's working with us. Sometimes it's not. And we'll let you know, like, be very clear and upfront about that. So we stand against just that exclusive, pushy, manipulative stuff. So I would help. I would recommend identify the things you stand for, identify the things you stand against that will help you really build a business that's aligned for you. If it's like, hey, I stand for Christ, I stand for these biblical principles, then write that down and let that be expressed. Now, here's what's really important. Whether you have a business where you're exclusively working with Christians, or whether you have a business that's maybe more inclusive, that you work with a variety of companies and a variety of people, your personal faith doesn't have to be reflected only in language. Catch that. It's not just language where conviction is communicated. It's behavior. It's reactions. It's how you respond to people. For example, you don't have to say Jesus every five words in your marketing. It's how you just naturally show up. People will see the behavior and notice, oh, you're different. Something is safe here. Something is feels warm and good. There's a sense that I can trust you. There's an honesty and an integrity that I just notice and see. And that's actually one of the reasons why a lot of people buy from us, because they see, oh, you're just a real person. Like, you're honest. You're like going to share from your perspective. You're not going to be like super like weird or, you know, stuck up or elitist or anything like that. So just write down all the things that you stand for, all the things you stand against, and then start to make sure that your actions, your behaviors, your language matches that list.
Yeah, I love that. So many good points, starting off with congruence, right? You want to be in congruence with who you are as an individual, who you are as a company, right? And integrity. Of course, you want to be in integrity when you show up in the marketplace. And I think the third thing you mentioned was alignment. So for you, this faith journey and the fact that you combine your faith and business was because it was in alignment with your business and who you are as a person. You were being congruent and you were in integrity. So that's what allowed you to show up in the marketplace as a person of faith in business. And I loved what you shared about sometimes that's just subtle. It's how you treat people, how you act, how you talk, how you give refunds, you know, how you go above and beyond, how you show up in excellence. So it's not necessarily always using the words, you know, not openly, like you said, in language, but just being that person that God designed you to be in the marketplace. So I love that you explained the subtlety of it. Sometimes it can be just subtle. And sometimes it can be more loud if that's what God is calling you to be, right? If he's calling you to be that loud marketplace minister, then you step into that too. So it definitely is however God is calling you to represent him in the marketplace and the message he has given you specifically. So thank you so much for sharing that when it comes to combining your faith and your business and the two together. So this season, we've been talking a lot about how a lot of believers really want to know that they're hearing from God. You know, a lot of times you hear that, I want to know this is like really something God wants me to do and not just something that I think I can do, right? I hear that a lot from believers, just wanting to make sure that they're in God's will and God's way. So this season, I've been asking, you know, how do you know that you're hearing from God? How do you know that this is a God thing for you and not just maybe a good thing to do in the marketplace? Are there specific things that you notice that makes it a God thing or makes it you hearing from God and God's voice? Can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like for you?
Yeah, I want to first share that what I have heard in that question and from other people when they're like, hey, I really want to make sure I'm doing this the right way. I'm doing it God's way. Is there so much fear behind it? There's a lot of anxiety behind it. There's a lot of stress of if I do something wrong, then I'm gonna like I'm in sin or I'm somebody's gonna smack me, you know, beside the head or like I'm gonna get hit by lightning or like there's all this fear and anxiety and stress. And what I want to share is mostly a message of grace that you have permission to go make mistakes and that mistakes aren't sin. That when you go do something, if it's out of alignment, you'll know, oh, this didn't really feel good. Let me go do it a different way. Let me take some time and really analyze this. Let me process this. Let me sit, give myself some quiet time, and just listen for which direction to take. And as you begin to take action, you'll find that clarity that you're looking for. I believe there are three ways you can find clarity. The first is taking action. You go do something. I call this oops clarity. Like you go do something and then you're like, oops, that didn't work. Or oops, that's not the right direction. All right. Right. God's a good God. He'll say, hey, you're almost there. Let's just nudge a little bit or let's go this way. Or, oh, that was a good idea. Hey, what if we try it this way? There's a collaboration and a creative force there that you can partner with. And that there's so much safety and grace to go take action. So go take action. You'll find the clarity of, oops, this was the wrong thing. Or, oops, I don't know how I did it, but I did it. It was like, it worked. Cool. And you realize I should do that again. The second form of clarity is conversational clarity or coaching clarity, where, you know, maybe you're listening to this podcast, or maybe you're listening to, you know, a webinar or a training, or you're reading a book, or you're having a conversation with someone and something just jumps out of the page, or they say something that like, oh, that was for me. Like, have you ever been in like maybe a church service or anything like I needed that. That was the clarity I was looking for. Sometimes the clarity you're looking for is in the mouth of someone else. And you just have to get into conversation and share, hey, I'm looking for this type of support. I'm looking for this kind of insight, for this type of direction, and go ask for it. And then the third is like that guts, God, Holy Spirit clarity, where you really just sit and you say, okay, what do I already know to be true that I just haven't acknowledged or I haven't given myself the space and the time to say, oh, I've known this all along. I just haven't like accepted it or haven't acknowledged it. Or another great question to ask is, what do you already know to be true that you're maybe afraid to acknowledge? Maybe there's some things in your life that it's a difficult conversation you have to have, or it's a boundary you have to draw, or it's an action you're kind of maybe nervous about and you've been avoiding it and you're looking for all this clarity. You're like, am I in the right direction? But you know what the right direction, you've just been avoiding it. And so give yourself that space and that time to sit maybe with a journal and say, okay, what do I already know to be true that I just haven't given myself space and time to acknowledge?
Yeah, so good, so good. Sean Q is so good at the teaching points, right? What are the key things that you need to take away to really let this sink in? You know, that's why he's been my coach. You know, that's why I listen to everything that he has and that he puts out, because he's so gifted in the area of teaching and making sure the points come across. So I love that, you know, what you shared and some of the key aspects of what you shared, because a lot of times, as you mentioned, hearing from God's, wanting to know that this is God's voice is about clarity, is about, is this the right direction? But we serve a God that is a God of grace and mercy, right? So he's going to make sure that he has grace for our mistakes and understands as human beings, we're going to make mistakes and it's a part of the process. So don't be afraid to make mistakes. No one understands God gives us grace, and don't be afraid to make mistakes is one of the key things that I heard. And then the three tips on clarity was the oops clarity, as Sean Key mentioned. You need to be in action. You need to take the action to get the oops. Yes, that's great. It worked. I don't know how come, but it's working. So let's keep moving forward. Or oops, this didn't work. Let's not do that again. So that oops is really a great way to get the clarity. And that is all about action. So don't be afraid to make the mistakes and take the action. The second one that he mentioned was conversations. You know, how many times have we been in conversations with people that, and something just resonated exactly what you needed to hear at that time? God used that person to get the message to you, to give you clarity. So paying attention to what people are telling you and really sitting with what is resonating and sinking in with you is key and important to really get clarity. So I love that. Taking action clarity, that oops clarity. And then the third and final clarity that you mentioned was that intuition, the Holy Spirit. As believers, we are gifted the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that Jesus said to us that I am leaving this earth in the physical form, but you will be gifted the Holy Spirit that will comfort you, that will guide you, that will give you direction. So that is another way that we get clarity from the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. So such great points for us to take away and remind us about, you know, just taking action and not being so scared. Is this a good thing? Is this a God thing? Is this the right thing? Just take action and trust and believe it will all work out in me. In the end.
Awesome. So good.
Yeah. So there are two signature questions that I ask every season on every episode, and I'm doing the same for the Men of Faith takeover of the podcast. And that first question is, how would you define the power of faith? How would you define the power of faith?
What is incredible is knowing our ability as humans to create. And faith is being able to see something that's not there yet, that doesn't exist yet. And a similar term that I like to use, and not the exact same, but it kind of paints a picture, is the power of imagination. Of being able to see a empty lot in front of you, but really see the park you want to create, or the building you want to build, or the restaurant you want to run, or, you know, the co-working space you want to create, or the retreat center that you want to have. It's the ability to see what doesn't exist yet. And then to say, hey, I don't see it yet. And still I'm going to build towards it. I'm going to go out and create it. I'm going to use the gifts and the resources I have in my hands to create this thing that does not yet exist. And so I would encourage you, dream. I believe there's a scripture that says, you know, young men will have dreams or old men will have vision, or young men will have visions, old men will have dreams. And whoever you are, listening to this, give yourself permission to dream, to sit with a journal and say, what does not yet exist in my life, in my family? What are some of the things that have existed before that I no longer want to exist? What are the generational things you're going to be the line in the sand of that people are going to look back and say, wow, it was you that my life is different. It was because of the decisions you made today that 100 years from now, I'm able to live a different life. I have always been very focused on legacy, and it's just more abundantly clear to me now as we're expecting baby Nyla to come. And what is so important is recognizing that the decision you make today, the choices you choose today, the actions you take today are a ripple effect into the future that your children, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren are going to be impacted by. And so having the ability to say, okay, what am I dreaming? What life am I dreaming for them? What decisions are they going to be able to make that I will never make? But because I chose to do things today, they'll be able to choose differently then, you know, whether it is stopping something that has existed or starting something that has never existed. You have a power within you that allows you to create and dream and imagine and to see before it even exists. So go see it, journal it, write it down in that tablet, make it plain, make it known, and then go make it happen.
Love it, love it. So you have been given permission. If you didn't know you had permission, now you know you have permission to dream, have a vision, have imagination, and use the power of faith to create something that is not seen in the world today, but you have the ability and legacy to create that through the power of faith. So thank you for that definition of the power of faith. And the final signature question is, how would you define the power of business? How would you define the power of business?
That's a great question. So when I look at businesses that I love and business owners that I care about and love that I'm inspired by, what I'm really seeing are people who are willing to ask for what they want and willing to solve other people's problems. You combine those two things, literally business becomes so easy. It's saying, hey, I want a life full of financial freedom. I want a life where I can get paid well for what I do well. I want a life where I have clients I love working with. I want a life where I'm able to get up and be excited about the Zoom sessions I have instead of dreading the Zoom sessions I have. I want to have a life where I can take a random day off and I'm kind of in control of the schedule and the time that I use. They're willing to ask for it. And they're willing to solve people's problems. They're willing to say, hey, I want to be a person of value to you. How can I make your life easier? How can I make your life more fun? How can I make your life something, you know, how can I release items from your to-do list and put them on my to-do list so I'll take care of them? How do I, you know, just allow you to really pursue your dream? I fully believe that income is a reflection of impact. And so the more impact you make, the more income you can ask for in integrity, with honesty, knowing that, hey, you deserve to get paid well for what you do well. So the power of business is really being able to go solve problems and being able to ask for what you want.
Definitely being able to solve problems and ask for what you want so you can make that impact and income that you were born to make, the power of business. Well, this has been a great conversation. I always love chatting with you, Sean Q, and having you on all the various summits, series, and anything. I'm always reaching out to you because I know you're going to have a lot of gold nuggets to share with my audience. I just so do appreciate having you on for the Men of Faith Takeover on the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. If anyone is interested in learning a little bit more about the work that you do in the world and how to connect with you, what would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, I would recommend going to our website. You can go to heysheanq.com. Hey, like hi, H-E-Y, Sean, the right way to spell it is S-H-A-W-N, and the letter Q.com, heysheanq.com. You'll be able to see a ton of free resources. You'll be able to join our Facebook group, our challenge, just a variety of things that are there to support you. And come say hi. I'd love to know if you're part of Nadine's audience, if you are listening to her podcast consistently, you're doing the right thing. So I'd love to know people who are doing the right thing. So hit me up and let me know. And I'd love to say hi.
Awesome. And are there any specific social media platforms that you love to connect and engage with people on?
I'm most active on Facebook. And so just find me facebook.com/HeySeanQ.
definitely connect with him on Facebook and go to his website and get all the amazing resources that he has available for you. So thank you, Sean Kuhn, for being on this season of the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast with the Men of Faith Takeover. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for listening to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I hope this episode has not just given you information you can use, but was insightful and inspirational. Wherever you are listening, be sure to subscribe to get the next episode or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list. Plus, if you would like to discover three powerful ways to attract the people you are called to serve in the marketplace so you can make the impact, influence, and income you were born to make, be sure to text POWERFUL to 404-982-4736. That's 404-982-4736. 4736.